Realtors.com studios. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome. It's Thursday, September the 20th, 2018. We're all going to get a text message today from the president. About 2:18 p.m. to 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time, the president is going to send out an alert to everybody. Now, this was put in by Obama, the capability to do this. This is the first time it's been tested. That, along with the suspicious closing of a solar observatory, the Key Solar Observatory, and all the secrecy surrounding that, has created a lot of speculation for people. Of course, it's not too far away from Roswell, so one of people just said on the basis of that, well, is it something about UFOs? A lot of people looked at it and said, well, is it something about some kind of a solar event coming at us, a CME? I don't think that's the case because we're now 2 weeks after that was shut down because we didn't find out for a while that that observatory had been shut down. Nevertheless, we're going to have an expert on with us today, Dr. Willie Soon, an expert on solar activity. We're going to talk about why they have shut down some of these observatories or whatever, but we've also had some news reported. Finally, a reason given by the government as to why they shut down that sunspot observatory. They said child pornography was the reason behind this. And it was very suspicious because it was a massive FBI raid. They had helicopters, black helicopters even. They had the sheriff told to stand by, but the sheriff was not given any information. This is typical of the way the government does everything now. And it's one of the reasons why people are so suspicious and why people start to say, well, if you won't give us a reason, we'll start to question various reasons. So we put out a lot of different hypotheses as to what's going on. It's what anybody does when they begin an investigation. Anything that the government does is mysterious, it's secretive, or they just outright lie to us, tell us many different versions of a story and different contradicting versions of the story. And so it's natural for us to want to investigate that. But we're going to talk about solar activity. I started looking at this because of the connection. And I thought, oh, is this another Carrington event? What would a Carrington event look like? What is the effect of the sun on our climate? Good question. We're going to ask Dr. Willie Soon that as he joins us later in the broadcast. And of course, as this is all happening, we have Google outfitting its mapping cars, its Google Map cars, turning them into pollution police patrols. That's right. They're going to police the pollution with their Google Map cars everywhere. And they're turning that over to the Environmental Defense Fund, whose mission is to sue about every environmental conspiracy. What is that going to do to your pocketbook? What's that going to do to your vehicle? And I find it interesting that as Google is doing this and partnering with the EDF, that they are also partnering with the Chinese government to shut down any data coming about Chinese pollution. Chinese pollution is far worse than it is in the United States. They have very primitive, very dirty coal-powered plants. Coal power plants can be made clean, but they're not clean in China by any means. And so they have a lot of pollution in China. The government doesn't want that to be seen. The globalists do not want that to be seen. We must not see anything that is wrong with China. China can put tariffs on U.S. goods, but the U.S. cannot put tariffs on Chinese goods. The Paris Climate Accord can put restrictions on the production of U.S. power, but not on Chinese power. The Chinese must be allowed to continue to expand their dirty power plants for many decades. And so in partnership with that, showing yet again how Google is part of the globalist conspiracy against America and against your freedoms, Google has said, well, we will, as part of this Dragonfly operation, The Intercept has reported a couple of days ago that they're going to cover up any data about pollution. They will only serve you the information that comes from the Chinese government that has been sanitized, unlike their power plants. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm David Knight.
real news. Live from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome. We're going to be talking to Dr. Willie soon. We're going to talk about solar activity, especially in light of the Sunspot Observatory's closure. A lot of people questioned, as I said at the top of the hour, why that was shut down. So we're going to talk to him about the effect on climate by the sun. Yes, it does have an effect that is greater than the tailpipe of your car, greater than your barbecue grill. Believe it or not, the sun has an effect on our climate. And the sun's effect on our climate goes through cycles. So we're going to talk to Dr. Willie soon, who is an expert on that. We'll also talk to him about the issues that many people raised as they looked at this being shut down. And as some people have pointed out, a lot of solar observatories have been shut down recently. What had they seen something? You know, a mass coronal ejection, something like the Carrington event, which was a big thing back in the 1800s. When we didn't have much that was electrical, it created a big event. And so you can have a large CME event, and it can have dire consequences for our infrastructure and therefore for our society. It could cause many power transformers that'd be very difficult and expensive and long-term to replace. It could burn those out all of a sudden. But these things are happening on a regular basis. We had a near miss, I think it was back in 2012, did not hit the United States. Everything revolves around the United States. I'm sure people listening around the world think that's funny. But did not hit the United States or even the rest of the world back in 2012. But it is a concern. They can, the speed varies quite a bit. They can be just a few hours, or it can be up to 4 or 5 days. But this observatory was closed 2 weeks ago today. Today, the president is going to be sending us an emergency message. I don't think it's going to say duck and cover. I think it's going to be an actual test coming up about 2:20 Eastern time. But anyway, he's going to be joining us with that. We've got a lot of news to talk about. Of course, there's more information about the Kavanaugh hearing. I want to talk about Google's police patrol. I want to talk about the legion of antichrist that we're now seeing out of the Vatican. I mean, this is really getting amazing as we're seeing more and more information coming out of New York, New Jersey, Denmark, and the Pope increasingly circling the wagons and getting very vicious about the people who have the audacity to accuse the officials and the Catholic Church, while he doubles down on his real concerns about the environment, about capitalism, and about open borders. He doesn't care about the kids. That's the amazing thing. You know, there was a story that came out a day or so ago that I wanted to cover. There were other things that were up about Marco Rubio. And I thought it was a great point that was made by Reason. It said Twitter should punish Marco Rubio for doxing a Miami steakhouse owner. He got upset with a guy who owns a Miami restaurant. The guy was defending Venezuela. And I would agree with Marco Rubio. I don't think there's any defense for what's going on in Venezuela. But what he did was he tweeted the address, the phone number of the Miami restaurant. He invited his followers to harass the owner. And as they point out in Reason Magazine, this is a violation of Twitter's terms of service. And they are obliged, if they are going to apply the rules evenly, to take down Marco Rubio's account. Now, I don't like Twitter doing that, but let's understand that there shouldn't be multiple levels of rules for different people. You know, I'm kind of tired of seeing the Marco Rubios and the Hillary Clintons get away with whatever they want to do, and the rest of us get taken off of these social media accounts. Rubio was responding to this tweet from a Venezuelan restaurant owner, and this is what he had to say. This guy who admires dictator Nicolas Maduro so much actually owns a restaurant in, of all places, Miami, because that's where you can get the food. You can't get food in Venezuela, so there's no point in opening a restaurant there. Anyway, he goes on to say, it's called, and he gives the name, and he says it's located at, and he gives the address, the full address, Then he shows the phone number, the full phone number, which we're not going to show because we don't want to harass anybody here. We don't do that at InfoWars. People like Marco Rubio and CNN do that. We don't do that. And he says, in case anyone wanted to call. Now, the writer on Reason says that they've previously put out their opinion that social media platforms shouldn't actively police offensive content and fake news. I agree. And that attempts to do so will be influenced by unconscious bias. However, if you're doing something with malicious intent, it points out, revealing a person's phone number or their physical address without the person's permission, which Rubio did in both cases, he did put both of those out, is a violation of Twitter's terms of service, and rightfully so. Inviting social media lynch mobs to harass people at their homes or to fill up their voicemail boxes or to shut down their businesses is reckless and terrible behavior. And I think we're, again, you know, when I see things that I don't like being done by, let's say, Starbucks, they get politically active, and this guy was being politically active at this steakhouse in Miami, I criticize them. I say, I'm not going there. You know, I don't encourage people to give them a call or whatever. But, you know, I don't necessarily believe that in this particular case, it's a little bit different if you're looking at a corporation like Starbucks that has tens of thousands of locations around the world. I mean, you can't do a lot of harassment, but if it's a lot of people going after one business location, that's a little bit different qualitatively. Nevertheless, what he says is Rubio's sarcastic in case anyone wants to call is really a straightforward invitation to harass the people. I would just say that Rubio's tweet doesn't bother me that much. I know that if he wasn't a senator, if he was a conservative in the media, that Twitter would take action if he was a media conservative. Just like I know that Rubio didn't take any action to defend conservatives when he had that hearing. As a matter of fact, he was demanding social media censorship. That's why I reported this story. To demand of Twitter and others, we don't like it when the Chinese government or some other government, or the Russians, let's say, or some other people, and of course they're going to be doing this for various political persuasions. It isn't going to just be conservatives here domestically. But he says, you're going to shut that down for us, right? But you're not going to shut down what we have to say. He was demanding censorship. And this is why I keep saying, these social media companies are doing what the government wants them to do, both Republicans and Democrats. And that's why this double standard for Rubio is so annoying. You know, he did not defend Alex Jones. He did not defend anybody that had been shadow banned or overtly banned. He didn't have anybody testifying at the hearing. As a matter of fact, if he goes to a hearing and he doesn't know anything about Alex Jones, what is he even doing at that hearing? And we know he was lying. But let's just assume that he was telling the truth. I know that's hard, but let's just assume for a moment that Marco Rubio told the truth for once in his life, that he didn't know who Alex Jones is. You know, I was at the conference this last Friday, and there was an archaeologist there from Spain, Anselm P. Rambla. He works with Tim Alberino. And he doesn't speak much English. And so Tim introduced me to him and said, he works for Alex Jones. And he goes, oh, see, Alex Jones, I know. I said, see, even somebody from Spain knows who Alex Jones is, but Marco Rubio doesn't know. And I guess, you know, it's a good thing that he doesn't know who Alex Jones is, because he'd be calling for social media platforms to shut down Alex Jones. Oh, wait. I think he did. And as we, we got more to say about Twitter, and we'll get back to that. Stay with us. We'll be right back talking about Kavanaugh as well.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers.
hours and lots of hours to spend with you.
Yes, so but she doesn't want to spend the hours with the Senate Intelligence Committee, not in public or in private. And of course, the accuser of Brett Kavanaugh has been seen wearing a pussy hat. And as annoying as that song is, I find this whole sham accusation to be annoying. So as they continue to keep this going, I'll keep playing this song just to get in their pussy hat faces. Those cute little pussy hat noses. You know, James Whit came out and he used the term without the hat. He called Republicans pussy hats without the hats. So they act like savages, talking about the Democrats, and Republicans sit back and take it like the pussy hats without the hats that they are. That's absolutely true. All right, let's kill the music. That's annoying enough. It just keeps going and going. But I want to get to something else that is an ongoing annoyance as well. And that is the virtue signaling and the lies from Hillary Clinton about defending women. And she did it with, of all people, Rachel Maddow, giving her cover. And I want to play for you what the two of them were saying in terms of how, Bill Clinton never got his due process and so forth. Seriously? Bill Clinton never got his due process? I agree. He was never tried. And I blame Ken Starr for that. I talked about that a couple of days ago when I mentioned this. Ken Starr didn't come after him for any serious crimes, not for the financial corruption, not for any of the suspicious murders, but certainly not for the more obvious sexual assaults and rapes and the multiple accusations of that were still not very old. Didn't do any of that. Instead, whitewashed all of that, just like he did white water. Poured the white water on the entire investigation and just talked about Monica Lewinsky and a simple perjury charge. That's all he did. And then Ken Starr went on to defend Jeffrey Epstein and the guy who had a pedophile island. Who had this Lolita Express that Bill Clinton used to travel on frequently? Defended him. Ken Starr was his defense lawyer. Ken Starr got that sweetheart deal for Jeffrey Epstein. And then he went on to, as president of Baylor, a Christian college, defending the football team against sexual allegations. And so that was three strikes and he was out at that point. That happened after the Me Too moment. Bad timing there for Ken Starr. He finally got caught. But of course, Hillary and Bill have never been caught. And they have people like Rachel Maddow giving them cover. Here's a little bit of the back and forth, a long interview that Rachel Maddow had with Hillary Clinton, just hoping, I guess, that she will run again. I hope she does, too. I hope she does, too. We could use the boost for Republicans. But here's Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton.
Judge Kavanaugh asserts, do you think that the Senate is capable of giving him due process? Obviously, allegations like this there are lots of allegories for this and lots of times in politics. Your husband, when he was president, faced allegations that were not the same as this, certainly, but had connections to these kinds of old allegations from years ago. And I know
We'll pick it up. So he faced allegations that were certainly not the same as this. Yeah, Bill Clinton's allegations were very, very serious. Very serious. And multiple credible allegations. And still are. I don't know what the statute of limitations is on rape. They make all kinds of exceptions. If you rape a child, you only got 3 years, right? So I guess there's a statute of limitations on other rape, and it might depend on different jurisdictions. But they were not the same as this. You're right, Rachel, about that. But how shameful of her to do this. Because she just leaves that out there. Bill Clinton, yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It was just Monica Lewinsky, right? No, it wasn't just Monica Lewinsky. And connections to these kinds of old allegations from years ago. Bill Clinton's allegations were not 35 years old. Not 35 years old. They weren't something that Bill Clinton was alleged to have done when he was in high school. But let's go on and continue with her cover-up for Bill and Hillary. Here's Rachel Maddow continuing.
certainly had concerns at the time that he never really had due process to defend himself from allegations like this. Have we learned anything over the years about due process, not just for the accusers, but also for the accused?
He didn't need to. He had Ken Starr.
Well, I think that you have to take each of these situations, you know, sort of on their own merits. And what we have today is a process that has been rushed, that has been deliberately opaque, where information that
deliberately opaque.
The Congress, not just Democratic senators, but all senators and the public deserve to see that they were denied. So there has to be a set of standards. And yes, there should be due process for everyone involved. And I think that's what Dr. Ford is asking for. She's asking for due process. She's asking
that there
be an investigation. You know, at the end of the investigation,
she might very well decide not
to pursue her willingness to testify. She might say, well, you know, there's no way to ever prove it. Who knows what she might decide? On the other hand, the person she's accusing might decide, well, wait a minute, my memory is faulty, or I don't remember that, and now there's been evidence put forth. We don't know.
Pause. Do you hear that? Maybe Brett Kavanaugh might say, well, my memory was faulty. She won't say that her memory was faulty. Christine Ford. I mean, she never psychoanalyzed this or imagined this. No, not in 35 years. No. Even Dianne Feinstein says, well, it may not all be truthful, but we need to take a look at this. You want to talk about due process? Due process, Hillary, and you know this well because you are a lawyer. You know that due process includes having the right to confront your accuser, and even having to have an accuser testify against you. You know, we do have a standard, even going back to Mosaic Law, that charges should be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You don't have two or three witnesses. You got one accuser saying that something that was never reported to anybody for 35 years deserves to be heard and believed without her even taking the stand. Juanita Broderick came back and had something to say about this. And, of course, going back to 2016 interview, she said, he grabbed me again, talking about Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, she said, grabbed me again very forcefully, started biting on my top lip. This was extremely painful. I thought he was going to bite my lip off. That's when he pushed me back into the bed. I was completely dressed. I had a skirt and a blouse. He tore the waist of my skirt. Then he ripped my pantyhose, and he raped me. It was very vicious, Hillary. And I added that. I was just pinned down. I did not know what to do. I was so frightened. That's what Juanita Broderick said back in 2016. And then she said that Hillary Clinton tried to silence her. She tweeted out, I was 35 years old. The charges were not 35 years old. Juanita Broderick was 35 years old when Bill Clinton, Arkansas's attorney general, raped me and Hillary tried to silence me. I'm now 73 and it never goes away. Oh, yes, it does. It goes away for Hillary because you got people like Rachel Maddow who will whitewash it away.
Let's make government small enough to fit in the Constitution. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. You just heard Hillary Clinton saying that she believes women. All women need to be heard, except for the bimbos that accused her husband of violent rape and sexual assault. Those bimbos need to be silenced, and she will do it. And she will have the assistance of Rachel Maddow to do that. And it's not only Hillary Clinton. As I pointed out, and I'm surprised that more people haven't picked up on the fact that Anita Hill, after the attacks on Clarence Thomas within a couple of years, she was out there defending everything about Bill Clinton the same way that Hillary Clinton defended him. So you have Hill and Hill, the Clinton defense team, out there defending this violent predator as they go after any conservative male, white or black, for that matter. We played the clip the other day, an excellent clip of Clarence Thomas, talking about how it was a high-tech lynching. He said, they can't stand to see a black man who thinks for himself and comes to the conclusion that he wants to stand for freedom, individual liberty. That was one of the key things in that hearing. Far more so when I listened to that live, and I listened to it live at the time. I was on vacation with my wife, and we're just listening to it on the radio as we're driving through the mountains. I'll never forget it. It's a great drive. And as good as the drive was, the hearing was horrible because I heard Joe Biden. I'd never known who Joe Biden was before. This was before the hair transplant, before the vice presidency. It was Joe Biden at his worst. And Joe Biden was haranguing Clarence Thomas over the idea that Clarence Thomas had written in some journals about the idea of natural rights. Natural rights. Natural rights, folks, are the foundation of our country. It's the foundation of the Declaration of Independence. Natural rights were the basis on which we said we have the right to self-government. And we have the right, when the government doesn't protect the natural rights that we have that are given by our Creator, we have the right to alter or abolish that government. And that's what they did after that Declaration of Independence. They said, we haven't been able to alter it, so we're going to abolish it. And that is the fundamental basis for our entire legal system. And Joe Biden has a problem with that. He had a problem with Clarence Thomas. That's the part that was even more amazing to me than all the nonsense about Anita Hill and everybody wearing the I Believe Anita buttons. I was tempted to make a button myself. I don't believe Anita. I still don't believe Anita, especially after she defended Bill Clinton. And she was Johnny on the spot after the Weinstein allegations that came up a year ago to spin that into an attack on President Trump. And now she's out in force again coming after Kavanaugh. That's what Anita Hill does. And, of course, Hillary Clinton in the same way. I want to play for you a clip from Juanita Broderick. Let's play video clip number 6. This is what she has to say about all this feminist posturing. Here's Anita Hill, Juanita Hill.
I did not know what to do. I was so frightened. I was only 35 at the time. And it was horrible. I just wanted it to be over with so he would go away. You know, so he would
he
just...
He got up?
No. He held me down for a long time. And then he did it again. I was so ready for him to leave me alone when he started raping me again. And it was very brief, and he did get up and he straightened himself, and my mouth was bleeding and it was hurting. And he just straightens himself and goes to the door.
With you still on the bed?
Yes,
and you're
crying. He straightens himself and he goes to the door and puts on his sunglasses and tells me to get some ice on my lip and goes out the door.
Now, how can Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton say that they care about women? Have they not seen that? Oh, they know about that. They know about that. The audacity of the two of them say, your husband, when he was president, faced allegations that weren't the same as this. No, they were far worse. Far worse. And certainly, you know, he had connections to these kinds of old allegations from years ago, said Rachel Maddow. And I know you had concerns at the time. Your husband certainly had concerns of it. The poor victims. Poor victims. Bill and Hillary. Bill was the victim, according to Rachel Maddow. He never really had the due process, says Rachel Maddow. Bill Clinton never really had the due process to defend himself against allegations like this. Rachel Maddow and Hillary Clinton and Anita Hill didn't have the decency to even look at these allegations. So they think that every liberal woman's allegations against a conservative man need to be believed, but you don't listen to those bimbos that were victims of her husband. That's the amazing thing to me. Hillary Clinton saying, Ford's due process rights are paramount. And Juanita Broderick has had a lot to say about that. My case has never been litigated. It has never been investigated. My records are sealed. Only NBC investigated. She said, if you want the FBI to go back that far, Hillary, you want them to go back 35 years to investigate the allegations from Ford that Ford won't come out and say anything about, that she's just now mentioned for the first time and she won't testify even in a private hearing? Then let's investigate my rape allegations against Bill Clinton, too. It only seems fair, said Juanita Broderick. And as one person responded to her on Twitter, if Hillary Clinton was president right now and was trying to push a Merrick Garland vote, and a woman came out of the woodwork and made a 35-year-old allegation about him, the left would attack her character relentlessly. And that is not a conspiracy theory. It is not speculation, because we saw that happen. We saw that happen with Paula Jones. We saw it happen with Juanita Broderick. We saw it happen with Kathleen Willey. And anybody else who came out, they were bimbos. The women that Bill Clinton raped. They finally got around to the point where they could say, well, you know, the power differential there between Bill Clinton and an intern, Monica Lewinsky. So that's not a good thing. They got themselves to that point. But they still can't comment and still pretend to not care or know, not know, and we know that they do know, we know they just don't care about Juanita Broderick or the rest of them. And so what do you have from the press? ABC, Washington Post, PBS, others are going to Facebook and they are going to the alumni for women at Holton Arms, hoping that they might have met Kavanaugh during high school, reports the Washington Examiner. And they show some of the tweets that are coming out there. And they are strongly suggesting, without any evidence, that he abused a lot of women. And so now they are begging people on social media, come on, tell us your Brett Kavanaugh story. You don't have to prove anything. We're willing to believe you. Kavanaugh busters. We're willing to believe you. I can just see the logo right now. Hi, ladies. I'm Holton, class of 91, an investigative producer, reporter for ABC National News. I would really appreciate any leads on Kavanaugh. Any gossip? Got any gossip? You got any unsubstantiated allegations? Please give them to me, because we want to use those. Another one. Fellow alums, do you have friends or siblings who are graduates of Georgetown Prep? Was this indeed, or is it, a culture of toxic masculinity at their school? I think we do have a culture of toxicity, toxic femininity, toxic liberalism. You know, we had the New York Post say that this is liberal tyranny. And it is, in a way. They didn't get the tyranny exactly right. And they said, well, you know, I don't throw that T word around loosely. Well, I don't either. And neither does William Binney, but we know it when we see it. And this is just another aspect of it. It happens all the time. And this is one aspect of it right here. Welcome back. I've got a couple more things I want to say about how this is shaking out here. This is a shameful process. It really is. And if they continue to do this toxic femininity, I'm going to continue to play that Tom Jones song. As annoying as that is, it's just my way to get back. But before we get into some more about the Brett Kavanaugh hearing, and I just got a couple more points I want to make on this, and we're going to move on to what Google is doing with their pollution police cars and what is happening in the auto drive, heavily subsidized electric vehicle market, and why. It's all tied together with 5G. And 5G is about to roll out. So we're going to talk about 5G. We're going to talk about what Google is doing to take over the cities and to take away our freedoms. All of that is coming up. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you of a couple of the specials that we have. September is Preparedness Month. We always have a lot of storms in September. Yes, we do. It's not just climate change. I grew up in Florida, so I know about hurricane season. And we always would have hurricane season in September. in October, sometimes a little bit in August, and it would vary from year to year. So this is not anything new. This is not climate change. It is climate as usual. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Willie soon in the next hour. We're going to be talking to him about the effects of the sun on climate, especially in light of speculation people had about a coronal ejection, suspicious that something might be happening, that might be tied to President Trump's emergency broadcast later today. I don't think so. It's 2 weeks ago that they covered that up. It's now come out that there was child pornography that was there. But again, everything that the federal government does is mysterious and secret, which just feeds people's suspicions and theories about what is going on. But we have, since September is a time of storms, we have made that preparedness month. And at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a lot of products there that you can see, new food and water filtration products, seed and accessory specials to help you prepare there. One of the things that we have to help you prepare is our special just for the listeners of this program. You can get 15% off of a ProPure King water filtration system. That is a gravity feed water filtration system. You can save 15% off of the big one. It's a big savings. Just use the coupon code REALNEWS at checkout to save 15% off the ProPure King water filtration system. It's a gravity feed water filtration system. And as I've been pointing out to you, many different incidents that we've seen just coming to the news lately about chemical spills into the groundwater that the local and state officials knew about for 7 years, didn't tell anybody about it. Or you have other situations where they knew about it in the municipal water supply and didn't tell anybody, told them that the levels were safe. That was coming from the EPA and others. And you got a guy who was running that, said, they made a liar out of me. All these people who have died in this one household of a particular kind of cancer that is tied to that pollutant. You can get those, every time I hear one of these stories, I go to the spec page and I look at these water filters that we have and I go down it to see if they filter out that, and it's already listed. Every time I've done it, I have found it listed and they said that it takes out 99.9%. And it takes out other things too, like that you'll also find in your water that are not just inorganic chemicals. It'll take out organic contaminants as well. So protect your family's health. We also have a couple other specials. We got our final run of Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 25% off. And we have Super Male and Super Female Vitality, 50% off. Bod Ease, our turmeric formula, 50% off. As I was going to break, I point out the New York Post said this drive to sink Kavanaugh is liberal totalitarianism. And the writer, excuse me, the writer said, I don't use the T word lightly, but totalitarianism doesn't require 1984 style secret police and Big Brother. No, it doesn't. But I have to say that I don't use it lightly either. But there is a lot of actual totalitarianism here in the United States. William Binney, who knows something about totalitarianism because he hasn't just read 1984. He spent decades observing closely as the chief head, technical head of the NSA. He spent decades observing East Germany, the Stasi. And he told me in interviews that I've had with him, he's mentioned it multiple times, he said, what we have here in the United States now, already, is far worse than anything he observed with the East German Stasi secret police. That was tyranny. This is far worse than any of the tyranny that he observed from the Stasi. And William Binney knows tyranny. He doesn't have to go to the dictionary to look it up. He doesn't have to go to George Orwell's novel. And you ought to know it too. This person is right. This is a form of liberal totalitarianism. But this person defines totalitarianism as says the classical definition is a society where everything, ethical norms, moral principles, truth itself, is subjected to political ends. Well, not really. Totalitarianism, if you really do go to the dictionary and look it up, Merriam-Webster says that it is oppressive power exercised by the government or harsh injustice. even in an office environment where you're being tyrannized by somebody, the harsh injustice. So it has to do with not having due process, a process that is not fair, a process where we don't have respect for individual liberty. That's really what tyranny is. And that is really what we're seeing here. Much better definition of this, I think, was the headline from an RT article, Old, Unproven, and Timed to Ruin. The Kavanaugh accusations are a perfect example of everything that is wrong with the Me Too movement. And then they run down the list and they say, well, before we start, just one caveat here. Unlike many of the others weighing in, we don't pretend to know the truth of what actually happened between Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford. New facts may come to light, may settle the case, but the damage described below happened before any of them were known. And this is the tyranny of not having due process and fairness. This is why, and again, when we go back to these Supreme Court hearings, this is an opportunity for us to talk about legal principles and why we have presumption of innocence. The Democrats, and I would say the Republicans, for the most part, in Washington, don't believe in the presumption of innocence. They don't believe in innocent until proven guilty. They support policies that take your property, your home, your car, your business, without convicting you, without even charging you with a crime. They call that civil asset forfeiture. So is it any surprise that the people who come up with the process of civil asset forfeiture would have these kinds of political show hearings as well? I mean, that's really what we need to be talking about. And to some degree, it's a shame that we didn't have Amy Barrett there, because, as I said before, she not only was the best qualified judge, but she also would have taken all this Me Too nonsense off of the table. Of course, it would have come after her for her political beliefs. And I welcome that fight. Instead of a fight over who tickled who on a bed 35 years ago. Seriously, this is not the level of accusation that we've seen from Bill Clinton's accusers. And so this is the way they broke it down. Old, unproven, and timed to ruin. First of all, there's no evidence necessary in these Me Too investigations, right? They said even Elon Musk doesn't get to accuse somebody of being a pedo without a consequence. What is the consequence? Well, he gets a lawsuit against him, and these charges are going to be heard. There is no legal case. No legal case. No crimes. But you can be guilty even if there's no crime, just like civil asset forfeiture. I hope he's learned from this. Maybe when he gets on the Supreme Court, he can do something about civil asset forfeiture that affects all of us. And they said it doesn't matter if there's no police report in the Kavanaugh case. It doesn't matter that there was no investigation at the time. It doesn't matter that the FBI has repeatedly insisted that there is nothing to investigate and that this is not anything that they would have jurisdiction over, even if it had been reported as a crime. No, we're going to do this, and we're not going to have him be able to confront his accuser. Accusations come from decades ago, which means that the evidence is impossible to collect. The social mores have changed. People have changed. But it is timed to destroy. It is transparent in its self-interest. And social media and activists are going to decide, along with the activist in the media. That's where he'll be tried. And he won't have a chance to put his case up there. We already see this. They're begging people, come forward with rumors and gossip.
Waging information warfare against pushers of fake news.
You're listening to Real News with David Knight.
Welcome back. I have just a couple more things to say about the Kavanaugh hearing. And, of course, we have seen one individual put up on Facebook saying, oh, yes, I was told at the time that this had happened by Christine Ford. And yet Ford had told the Washington Post she told no one at the time what had happened to her. And so after it was pointed out to the person who put this up, Miranda, I think it's Miranda King is her name. Nevertheless, after Miranda put this up, we'll just use the first name here. It was pointed out to Miranda that her claim about the incident being spoken of for days afterwards, quote unquote, which is what she tweeted out, directly contradicted the statement from the alleged victim. Then Miranda deleted her claim and her Facebook account. Or maybe just the claim, yeah, not her Facebook account. She said, "Hi all, I deleted this because it served its purpose. And now I am dealing with a slew of requests for interviews from the Washington Post, CNN, CBS News. Served its purpose. Slandering people. Doesn't matter that her claim, the only person to quote unquote substantiate Ford's claims, contradicted Ford. But that's okay. They all deserve to be heard and believed. And they don't have to testify. Because we should have the FBI doing this for them." A third person that she accused of being there, she said there was Kavanaugh and another guy that were there. He says, "I don't have any knowledge of the party in question." Same thing that Kavanaugh said. "I don't know anything about a party. I wasn't there. I don't know anything about this alleged misconduct." But of course, we have on the other side two women with contradictory stories. So they win. They win in this court of appeals. We have Ann Coulter coming out and saying, here's the kicker from this psychology professor. One individual said, you know, these psychology professors are always psychoanalyzing themselves, going back and forth. So if this was something that really happened, I have a hard time believing that she would not have said anything over 35 years to somebody, to some therapist or something. Anyway, the fact that she said, "I thought he might have inadvertently killed me." That was Ann Coulter pointing that out. She said, "This is always my favorite part of any feminist claim. The leap from he used a bad word to he admitted committing sexual assault." And Ann Coulter said, "That's what the media lyingly said about Trump's remarks on Access Hollywood tape, as detailed in chapter 2 of her book, Resistance is Futile." I look at the letter that was sent out by her lawyer, a lawyer who has multiple connections to George Soros and to the Trump opposition. The lawyer said the hearing was scheduled for only 6 short days from today. Well, you know, she's had 35 years to talk about this. And senators appear to have made up their minds. Yes, they have made up their minds that Kavanaugh is guilty simply because he was accused. An FBI investigation of the incident should be the first step in addressing her allegations. Exactly. Why? You are a lawyer. Please explain to us how the FBI has jurisdiction here. Was there a kidnapping? Did she get carried across state lines? Saying they want a full investigation. So you have Feinstein jumping in after that, saying the hearings have to be delayed until the FBI investigates. We should honor Dr. Blasey Ford's wishes and delay this hearing. A proper investigation must be completed. Witnesses interviewed, evidence reviewed. What evidence? You got evidence for this? From 35 years ago, you didn't file any charges? All sides spoken to. Well, that didn't happen with Roy Moore, did it? Roy Moore was guilty. Didn't need any evidence. Not going to get any evidence or any hearing or all sides being heard from this. Even Mika Brzezinski said the GOP is letting her testify, but the Democrats are moving the goalpost. That's right. And if she doesn't show up, it's a done deal. It's a done deal anyway. They're just trying to give themselves political cover for doing something that is politically motivated. They're not going to vote for Kavanaugh simply because he was nominated by President Trump. All right, stay with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about Google.
Found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. You know, one of the things that I hope comes out of this Kavanaugh situation, the fact that he's being accused, that he doesn't get due process, he's accused in the court of public opinion. The witness will not even come forward, so she can't be cross-examined. She never filed a complaint many years ago. Where is the crime? What is the crime? I'm not really sure even what the crime is as she talks about this. But she never reported a crime. and he doesn't get his day in court. And I hope that conservatives will look at this and broaden their understanding, and especially these people on the Supreme Court, to look at civil asset forfeiture. We've just had a major case in Philadelphia. 4 years after the Philadelphia police seized the home of a couple for a minor drug crime that was committed by their son, the city has agreed to almost completely dismantle its controversial civil asset forfeiture program and pay $3 million to its victims. This is coming out of the Institute for Justice. They were the law firm that got the settlement out of the city of Philadelphia, reported by Reason Magazine and others. The senior attorney at the Institute for Justice said, "For too long, Philadelphia has treated its citizens like ATMs, ensnaring thousands of people in a system designed to strip people of their property and their rights. No more. Today's groundbreaking agreement will end years of abuse and create a fund to compensate innocent owners." It wasn't just this couple that is getting $3 million, had their home confiscated. he was accused of selling $40 worth of drugs outside the house. And the couple then had their home taken. And we see this many, many times on far more tenuous circumstances. Some teenagers are driving and the police pull them over for whatever reason. Usually not even a good reason. Just because they're teenagers. They used to have that happen to me all the time. When I was in high school, you didn't have the laws like you do today where you can only have one other person under the age of 21 in the car with you at the same time. No, I had the car and my friends would come with me because they didn't have cars and we would just cruise around having fun, listening to music, talking. And we get pulled over all the time just because we're a bunch of young teenage guys having a good time. Can't have that happen. But anyway, at least they didn't shoot us like they would today. But today they will also go through your car with a fine-tooth comb. And if they find the remnants of, let's say, a joint there, or if they drop a joint, because let's understand, the war on drugs has really corrupted the police, turned them into liars in many cases and into outright thieves in these civil asset forfeiture cases. They are truly highway robbers. Truly highway robbers. If they look at that, they say, I see part of a joint there. And you got a car, four or five people in there. Well, this car doesn't even belong to you. This belongs to your parents. And I don't know that that joint belongs to you or the part of it. But I'm going to take the car. Or they pull people over who are on their way to or from a casino area, to or from Vegas, and they've got cash on them, a couple of $1,000s. Well, that must be drugs. I don't care that you're in Vegas. That's got to be drug money. And so I'm taking your car and the cash. See that happening all the time. One of the first cases that I saw of this was a guy who had a service. It was a private jet, and it was a charter service. And he had a couple of executives in suits show up with their briefcases. He flew them across the border into Canada from America. They had their meeting for the day, and he flew them back. And when he flew back and landed, they had the DEA circle the plane and arrest these guys. They said, "We know that you guys were doing a drug deal." And then they said, "And we're taking your plane." And he goes, "Wait, I didn't have anything to do with that." They said, "We know you didn't have anything to do with it. And we're not charging you. We're charging the plane. This is the U.S. government versus Learjet serial number, blah, blah, blah." They do that all the time. Or the U.S. government versus $9,000 in cash. That's what the civil asset forfeitures look like. And they say, you don't get any due process, just like Judge Kavanaugh. You don't get any due process because this isn't criminal. It's civil. To which I say, yes, it is criminal. The crimes are being committed by so-called law enforcement officers. Why? Because they get kickbacks on this. But because they pretend that this is not a criminal action, they don't accuse you of a crime, they don't get a conviction, but they take your property nevertheless. And you have to sue them in court to get your property back. That's why most of these cases go against the poor people. They go against poor people who have cash, but they don't have enough cash to defend themselves in court. And so the police can get away with it. So we've gone a long way, haven't we, from Lysander Spooner, the libertarian writer who said back in the 1860s the government is like a highway robber, except worse. A highway robber will steal your money, but the government will steal your money and follow you down the road nagging you. He doesn't realize just how literally true that has become today and how much worse the government is than it was in his time. So the lawsuit alleged that the city was seizing 300 to 500 homes a year, violating residents' constitutional rights, yes, creating an illegal profit incentive for the police and for the district attorney's budgets. And this has been incentivized by the federal government. It was something that they moved back a little bit under the Obama administration, but not completely. Jeff Sessions loves civil asset forfeiture. And I'm hoping that even though Brett Kavanaugh is part of the GOP establishment, that it would be asking too much, perhaps, to imagine that he would cherish the idea of due process and the presumption of innocence, because we have gotten so used to not having that in this country, haven't we? And I look at this and I say, you know, this typically involves property, and Republicans are usually pretty strong on how important private property rights are. And yet they look the other way because they think that the war on drugs is somehow going to work after 47 years, and it isn't going to work. This is why I talk about this so much. This was the issue that turned me against the drug war. Not because I was a user. I've never used drugs. I don't drink. I don't do any drugs. I'm not interested in doing any drugs. And if I wanted to do drugs, if I needed to use drugs for medical reasons, I wouldn't ask the government's permission, and neither should you. And we should all stand up, as many of these states have done, and nullify this unconstitutional United Nations war on drugs. Yes, this is all coming from the UN, conservatives. Your property rights are being destroyed. The police forces have been corrupted, and it's all because of United Nations agenda that was copied and made law by Richard M. Nixon. The same guy who gave us a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, wage and price controls, the EPA, you name it. He also set up China. He and Henry Kissinger set up China to be a dominant power, doing the work of the globalist, enacting the globalist UN agenda for the war on drugs, which is not a war on drugs. It's a war on people. And they use the drugs to war on us. Look at how these people use the crack cocaine epidemic to war on us and to fund their dirty secret wars in Central America. How they use the capability that they have in Afghanistan. Once they got control of the poppy fields, we saw record crops every year after America came in and took control of the poppy fields. And you want to know where the opioid epidemic is coming from? Yeah, there's a problem with synthetic opioids coming through the mail from China, but there's also a problem with the big pharmaceutical companies that get a pass and get their patents renewed simply because they changed the little mode of delivery. Oh, I've got a wafer here. Does that mean I get a new 12-year patent? The same family that gave us the drug epidemic. If you want to get serious about a drug war, you do something about the opioid epidemic first, and you start locking up those pharmaceutical executives who are profiting from it and doing it in our faces. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're going to be talking to Dr. Willie Soon in the next segment. Of course, Dr. Soon is a professor at the Solar and Stellar Physics Division of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. He's also been branded a climate denier. Now, he doesn't deny that there's climate. I don't know that he even denies that that people have an effect on the climate, but he does deny the fact that the sun has no effect on climate, which is typically the position that most of the radical environmentalist take. They don't want to talk about the effect that the sun has on the planet. And so as a lead up to this, I started looking into this because of the National Solar Observatory. So there's been a lot of conspiracy theories that have circulated in light of that. But I think it's appropriate for us to get Dr. Soon on and talk about climate change, the effect that the sun has on climate change, and also the concern that many people have as to whether or not there's going to be some kind of a coronal mass ejection that is going to be coming out of the sun, because that can be very harmful. You may have heard of the Carrington event of the 1800s. And so as the National Solar Observatory was shut down in Sunspot, New Mexico, and that was closed on September the 6th, 2 weeks ago today, And a lot of people were saying, well, maybe that's connected to President Trump's emergency broadcast meeting, that's gonna, message that's going to be going out on your phone. You can't block it, even if you say you don't want to hear have these emergency messages bothering you. You still can't block this one. Thank you, Obama. I don't know why they're doing it, but it's coming from FEMA. So a lot of people say, well, you know, what's going on with this? They've now come out and said that this raid that was conducted very mysteriously at the National Solar Observatory, they shut it down. They wouldn't tell the sheriff what was happening there, but they wanted him to assist them in closing it down. They had helicopters there, so all the local news media were saying, what is going on? And they couldn't get any answers, as usual, from the government, because everything is top secret that the government does. Well, they say that it was part, now they say it was part of a child pornography investigation. But I think it's appropriate for us to talk to him about the possibility of a coronal mass ejection from the sun. You know, what's that going to look like? What kind of a warning do we get from it? They said at the time there was no timetable for this to for information about this. They took 2 weeks to put the information out. That's kind of strange. The FBI is refusing to tell us what's going on, said the sheriff. They wouldn't tell the sheriff, whose name is House. They didn't tell Sheriff House the reason for the closure. Sheriff Benny House did tell ABC 7 the local law enforcement did not have anything to do with either the observatory closure or the other activities that were there. The observatory closed, as many people point out. They said, hey, look, this is closed just as a massive hole has opened up on the sun's corona, which means that we're officially on watch for a geomagnetic storm. And we are headed into a solar minimum. So we also want to talk to Dr. Soon about what that has, what implications that has for our climate. But now they are saying that this was a investigation into child pornography. At the time, people were saying, well, there's been a lot of other observatories throughout the world that were shut down at about the same time. So is there something happening here? And how much warning will we get if there is a coronal mass ejection? So we'll be talking to Dr. Soon about that in the next segment. I do want to talk a little bit about what Google is up to, though, because this is a little bit more obvious and in your face than any of these other speculations about what's happening. Google now has, in order to push these environmental regulations on us, they are now partnering with a company, and they're going to be adding to their mapping vehicles. You know, they have these vehicles that go around, and they're constantly updating Google Maps. And you can get pictures as they take them. You can get pictures of the road itself. Now, Google's Street View cars, these cars that they have all over the world, are doing this. They collect data to make maps, but now their mission is to partner with a San Francisco company called Aclima. And they're going to patrol streets in Europe and the United States to monitor fluctuating levels of air quality. So as Washington Times points out, drivers, get ready for some environmental regulations coming at you. Businesses, make way for costly controls. Homeowners, get ready because they're going to impose fuel and electricity price increases on you. And then they go on to say, liberals already hate America's love affair with cars. Imagine the arguments they can make against driving and in favor of rail or buses or bicycles or walking. Oh, especially walking. Google has their smart city experiment right now in Toronto, and guess what they call it? Sidewalk Labs, because you're going to be doing a lot of walking. As I've mentioned before, the CEO of Lyft was trained as an urban planner. Urban planners hate cars. That's why they won't build roads. That's why they won't build parking places so that we can have freedom to travel. They don't want you to have freedom to travel. They want you to be controlled by the central planners, by the urban planners. And when you read this manifesto from the CEO of Lyft, he makes it very clear that he thinks that cities are the best thing that man has ever invented, and cars are the worst thing that man has ever invented. They're saying this is going to come back against us with environmental regulations, with lawsuits, and they run down a whole list of lawsuits that the Environmental Defense Fund, which is going to be working with Google, they're partnering with Google and putting these sensors on the Google Map cars. Suing is what these people do. And so what Google is doing is they're setting up a pollution police patrol in Europe and the United States, but not in China, because as The Intercept pointed out, sources familiar with Dragonfly. Remember Dragonfly? Dragonfly was this previously secret but now exposed partnership with Google and China to do censorship and surveillance in China. And of course, they're going to roll this out worldwide. China is the beta test site for globalist control. And now Google has got their own beta test site there in Toronto. But they said sources familiar with Dragonfly said the search platform also appears to have been tailored to replace weather and air pollution data with information provided directly by an unnamed source in Beijing. The Chinese government has a record of manipulating details about pollution in the country's cities, reports The Intercept. One Google source said the company had built a system integrated as part of Dragonfly that was essentially hard-coded to force Chinese provided data. The source raised concerns that the Dragonfly search system would be providing false pollution data that downplayed the amount of toxins in the air. So as they're searching out actively for any pollution in the U.S. and Europe so that they can sue and create greater regulations on everything that you do, they are lying to everybody about the pollution in China, where it is far worse. And it's the same company doing it. Gulag, Google, is doing this, lying to cover up Chinese pollution and exaggerating U.S. and European pollution for control. That's what they do. And, of course, spying on the people there and turning over the information, linking the social media credit scores and search terms, reporting to the Chinese government and the phone numbers of the people who are searching for things that the Chinese government doesn't want them to search for. That's Gulag.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
So today at between 2:18 p.m. Eastern Time and 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time, you will get something on your cell phone. You will receive a text message, they say, that says, "Presidential alert, this is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. No action is needed." You will hear a loud tone, and you will have a special vibration for the presidential alert. And so a lot of people ask, you know, what's going on with this? Why are we doing this? Why is it happening now? Is there any connection to the solar observatory that was shut down in New Mexico? As that happened, other people were saying, well, there's a lot of solar observatories that have been shut down recently. Are they hiding anything? Well, they announced, as they made that move against the National Solar, the Sunspot Solar Observatory, made the announcement yesterday that this comes from KTSM, said that child pornography was the reason behind the Sunspot Observatory closure. According to court documents, they said a federal search warrant reveals that the Sunspot Solar Observatory was shut down by FBI agents as they were conducting computer forensic searches for child pornography. The source of the child pornography was traced to an IP address that was being used at the observatory. And a source within the building observed a computer with, quote, "not good," unquote, images on it, said the warrant. The FBI revealed that a janitor is the main suspect. However, he has not been charged with the crime, even though his name is on the warrant. The warrant states the suspect would use the observatory Wi-Fi and a personal laptop to download child pornography. A limited number of people had access to the observatory from dusk until dawn, which helped to narrow their search. So they closed it 2 weeks ago on September the 6th, and then they reopened it on Monday, and then we saw the search warrant. Which, when we look at all this, why didn't they show the search warrant to the sheriff there locally? You know, again, when you look at these types of things, the way the government conducts itself still begs questions. You know, if you got a search warrant with a guy's name on it, why didn't you show that to everybody? Why did they keep it secret for 2 weeks? Why didn't they show it to the sheriff, for example? And why would they call out black helicopters? So it still leaves some questions as to their conduct, doesn't it? But I had questions for Dr. Willie Soon, and we have him now on the line. He is a professor of who does funded research at the Solar and Stellar Physics Division of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. Dr. Soon has spent his life fighting back against the dogmas of the left, and for that he has been labeled a climate denier. So I wanted to talk to him about solar activity, about its effect on our climate, as well as the concerns that many people had when they looked at this and they said, well, the Sunspot Observatory and others have been shut down and we got an emergency message coming out. Is there some kind of a coronal mass event coming, some kind of a geostorm? Because we have had those. September 11th, we had a minor geostorm warning issued for a G2 level storm. G5 is the highest. So this is kind of like different hurricanes. These are solar storms. And there are some things that are changing, as they always do with the climate, as they always do with the sun. So joining us now is Dr. Soon. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Soon.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having me on the show. I felt very honored to be talking to you.
And well,
of course, please tell me any questions.
Yes. Well, I think the question that a lot of us have, as I started to look at this, and I started like, well, how much advance notice would we have on this? And it varies quite a bit, doesn't it? If you got something that's big, like a coronal mass event. Talk to us a little bit about what kind of a time warning we would have and what kind of a risk we would have, because they can be quite, they can vary quite a bit in their intensity. We had the big one in 1859, I think it was, the Carrington event.
Yes.
So they can be very, very different. But tell us a little bit about that as people started to get interested in that because of the closing of this observatory.
Right. First of all, I just got news from some colleagues that are working at that place in Sac-Tic in New Mexico. Essentially, I guess internally, they were so close-mouthed and no one knew what's going on, and apparently you just told us the news, actually. So you guys are always ahead of us on this sort of news. But they've been trying to close this observatory since 2011, actually. So it's been a long transition to try to move to the operation at Boulder. So they're closing down all the solar facilities, and mainly they're putting all their eggs in one basket in the telescope in Maui. And that one is costing up to $344 million.
Whoa, and that's a big basket.
If those who really think that the environmentalists are doing anything good, just the original telescope was proposed only for about $390-some million, and $46 million added to it goes to wasting on those environmental so-called impact assessment. So in that sense, we are for pro good environment, but this is the kind of extra cost that I think is just the paperwork that is very, very stressful for people who just want to study the sun. Now let's go back to your original question. As we all know, if the sun disappeared 8 minutes ago, we would know it now, right? So it takes 8 minutes for the light to travel from the sun to Earth. So in the sense that if you are looking up the sun now, you're actually looking at it 8 minutes back. For the more slower stuff like the protons and all the charged particles, right? So essentially we, planet Earth, are immersed under this influence of the thing called the solar wind. This is actually a blow of expansion of basically hot air, right? Because the corona is of the order of 1 to 10 million Kelvin. So it's extremely hot. And so all the charged particles are essentially ionized, so which means they are bare, completely bare. They are either in electrons or protons or all these helium nuclei. So this pressure is pushing out this charged particle. Charged particle is traveling, of course, a lot slower than photon, the light. So for a lot of this sort of thing, typically the charged particle would takes about, you know, a week, 5 to a week to come by. And then for those explosive events like the corona mass ejection, there are some obviously are more energetically ooped by basically a lot of the physical processes, like reconnection, physical stuff that is happening on the sun. And that would take maybe 1 to 2 days. So the bottom line is that we have anything from a week to a day or two to really have a bit of a warning if this thing is actually coming. And plus that, we are very lucky, of course, because the volume of the space of this so-called solar system is very, very huge. There is a lot of explosion and all this sort of thing happening on the sun, but most of it are going into wasteland in some sense, right? So it's just going somewhere in the interspace of the planets and elsewhere. And occasionally, some of those are directed towards us, as you mentioned. The one in September 1st, 1859, is observed by this beer brewer, those who like to drink beer would credit him, Richard Carrington. this thing actually hit directly Earth, of course, and that actually caused a very huge disruption. Even the underwater cable that was built by another famous physicist by the name of Lord Kelvin, so the temperature unit is named after him, obviously, and he built all those transatlantic pipeline, those electricity line cable, and those things were disrupted for telegraph. So that one is.
And so today we got an electrical grid and an infrastructure,
yes,
and fragile electrical equipment. I mean, back in 1859,
yep,
it set fire in offices just that had minimal, electrical equipment and so forth. And you're talking about these underwater cables that were disrupted at the time. So it would be a real catastrophic event if that were to happen. But as you point out, we got anywhere from 1 to 5 days. And they also have a way of measuring the direction of this, because these things are happening frequently, but as you pointed out, it's a big universe
solar system. That's right. It's all about direction. And again, this sort of situation is very similar to, for example, if you just think about Florence, there is a very interesting statistic. If you were to look at the population map or the urbanization map of North Carolina region where it got hit, in 1940, you barely have 790,000 homes. But by 2018, you have an increase of 1,325%, which means you have 11.3 million people. So that is,
which makes it really big, which is what we're looking at with the electrical. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Willie soon. Of course, that's the thing that makes this a much bigger potential disaster. Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Willie Soon, and he is a researcher at the Solar and Stellar Physics Division of the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. A lot of people are asking if there was any relation to this emergency message that we're getting today and the solar observatory that was shut down 2 weeks ago. We have had local reports saying that they conducted that raid because of child pornography and listed a janitor there as being the suspect. Still, that you wouldn't have that warrant given by the FBI to the sheriff is kind of crazy, isn't it? Kind of crazy that they wouldn't play it so secretively, have the helicopters and so forth, and then keep it a secret for 2 weeks. Nevertheless, it doesn't look like this is a coronal mass ejection that is coming. As Dr. Soon was saying, they wanted to close this observatory down for other reasons. They're moving everything into one giant basket of, I forget the figure he had, of something like $350 million some odd dollars in one observatory. They're going to put all the solar observatories there. But we wanted to also talk about the risk of a Carrington-type event going back to 1859. And as I always say, that's not a matter of if, but when, that these things happen every 100 to 200 years. We just had one recently in July of 2012, as I was researching this. We had a massive CME that narrowly missed us. And Daniel Baker, the University of California, told NASA in 2014, if it had hit, we would still be picking up the pieces. And he said that 3 years after that near miss. And so, as Dr. Soon was saying, one of the issues that we have here is that, unlike 1859, we now have a society that is filled with critical things in our infrastructure that are going to be highly susceptible to some kind of a coronal mass ejection if it does, in fact, hit the Earth. Very similar to what we're seeing, as he made the analogy to the hurricane that we're seeing at the in the Carolinas right now, Florence. The damage that has been done there is intensified because we have seen so many people move to the coast, just like we got a lot of, we have greater damage now with the Florida hurricanes because we have so many people that have moved to Florida, built expensive homes on the coast and so forth. And so that's why we see the kind of disaster that we see there. But tell us a little bit more about the coronal mass events, Dr. Soon, and then let's get into the effect on our climate by the sun.
Yes. First and foremost, I do have to clarify that I speak as a private citizen. As you can imagine, people here really don't like it if all the names were being mentioned. But of course, I felt very free to come and speak to you, David. Simply, I admire you by listening to you from time to time of the knowledge that you have. But on just a small correction, you mentioned the last big eruption was 2012. Well, it's September 11, 2017, about that time. Last year.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, this is so an old article that I had. This is, article I had was from 2015, so we've had one since then.
This event, September 11, 2017, a year ago stuff, I mean, it was even more powerful because you know why? We even detected the event in Mars. So this is the kind of stuff when I mentioned that the sun affects the Earth climate system, people say, no, it can be. IPCC already dismissed everything. IPCC, of course, as you know, is the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change folks who are basically just hell-bent on calling CO2 the satanic gas, right? And they couldn't be further from being wrong in that sense. So this is why some of us are fighting really, really hard in terms of trying to spread only the correct signs. I mean, we're not, like I say, I'm very fond of saying, I'm not married to the sun, by the way. I'm married only to my wife. So there's just no other dogmatic view from my point of view. I'm only wanted to tell the truth. This is why, even on CME stuff, I do not want to, what you call, go into the trend of alarmism in the sense that there is a newspaper article that I sent out earlier in the week, actually on Monday, where UK is spending quite a lot of money putting up this another new solar telescope. Of course, under the premise that this thing is going to hit us, the big one is coming. I think all we have to do in the most rational way is always to be prepared, right? So this is why all we need to do is just be prepared. Yes, it will hit us badly sometimes. I mean, for example, one event of CME was the famous one in 1989. That one shut down the transformer, the big hydro plant in Montreal. So all we do need is actually be prepared and have a lot of those transformers, those big stuff that is very, very costly. But we need to have a few of them ready so that it won't be disrupted for far too long in that sense. So the preparedness part couldn't be further emphasized. So hopefully this alarmism will turn into some kind of preparedness, which I hope that this is what we can do as a scientist to tell people, right? We need to be prepared. Just like this hurricane, I think we came out relatively well in some sense because of a bit of a warning. Of course, unfortunately, as you know, there's a lot of this exaggeration, like that stupid guy from the Weather Channel who trying to pretend that the wind was so strong. I mean, people are suffering, and these people are making fun and making treating the whole event like a joke, just another way. That's why I think I'm sorry for that guy. I mean, I really felt bad. I wanted to mention that because I wanted him to learn a lesson himself so that, you know, you don't pull that kind of stunt again. People just want real information, not the type that you just exaggerate day in, day out. Who the hell you think you are, right? I mean, don't do that because that's so...
Well, Dr. Soon, we're talking about this, and we're talking about the kind of damage that could be done with charged particles. Again, a lot of this is very similar. The protections that we could take are very similar to the types of protections that we should take to prepare for an EMP, electromagnetic pulse. And so if we were to prepare for either of these events, a natural event like a Carrington event or a man-made event like an EMP, we would be doing the same types of things to prepare for that. But we don't do any preparation for that type of thing. And so if either of those things were to happen, we're going to take a massive hit. It's going to take us years to recover from this because a lot of these things, like the big power grids that you're talking about that came out in 1989, it takes a long time to manufacture those. We don't have very many places where they manufacture that. And of course, if the direction is just right, you could take out the places where they manufacture those things. So you're going to start bootstrapping this up.
You're surely right. I mean, I think indeed, again, you are doing a very big service to the world community in the sense that probably talking about this, because I don't barely hear it from any news agency who actually care any bit about preparedness. I mean, they just simply wanted to promote alarmism, sensationalized news, sensationalize all this natural disaster event where all you can do is just prepare for it. Because the point is that no one can stop the hurricane from coming. No one can stop the drought. And nobody can do all of those things. I mean, these are people who are literally proposing that you want to reduce carbon dioxide to stop continental drift, right? I mean, it's a very ridiculous nonsense. I mean, cut it out, you know, guys. We got better things to do than to keep day in, day out. Just think about all this somewhat of a scam. I mean, all kinds of things. I mean, these people
they're preparing for the wrong things. And and so we do have some real things that we do need to prepare for, some real threats, and they're preparing for some imaginary things. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that we're headed into a solar minimum. Talk to us about the solar minimums, the solar maximums. What effect does it have on our climate? Are we going to see, because we're going to a solar minimum, are we now going to see global cooling, which that was the original alarm by the climate people, the first Earth Day. They were saying we're heading into a new ice age. Then they changed it, said, no, we'll have global warming. Now they just say climate change. So we know it's going to change. Which direction is it going, Dr. Soon?
Very good question. And indeed, it is a hard question. I would say that if I haven't worked on this problem day in, day out for some 20 years, 30 years, I mean, I wouldn't be able to come close to saying anything about it, because it will be all speculation and that sort of guessing and all that stuff, which I sort of prefer not to do in the public sphere. Mm-hmm. But I have been working on this, and then I have to proudly say that this is why I told you, Travis Knight, that please put up some of my info, because some of them will directly allow the viewer to go look it up and study a bit more, because I have indeed worked on this sort of issues and actually was able to come up with what you call quantitative information for some of this, in the sense that I can actually try to estimate what will the sun do in the next 100 years. I mean, these are stuff that you always hear in the newspaper. I mean, tabloid and what have you, even Washington Post, who actually will say something opposite, where most of the scientists are predicting coming cooling. Those guys are insisting, saying that, oh, these are all fake. They are right in some sense, because some of the work are very low quality. But then they never talk about my work, for example. I really will be so happy if they come and challenge me, because I have to tell you, some of the work that I produce is of extremely high quality, and it's in the sense that it's a very good science, you know, to the best of my ability, and we really did the best science possible. So indeed, what we are actually expecting is that, you see, you have basic effect of the sun being, you know, coming and going, because of the, you can see that in terms of sunspot, right? You have more sunspot, that means the activity is stronger. You have almost zero sunspot. That's why you have a problem, right? Zero sunspot, we don't know how weak it is. In fact, you can tell by measuring other quantities. This is why I try to educate people, is that sunspot alone doesn't tell you much in that sense.
Because Dr. Soon, we got to take a quick break. Can you hang on through the break
for one more second? Of course.
All right, we just got into the climate change stuff, and I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about that. We'll show people where you can get the data from Dr. Willie Soon. And of course, that's what he does. He studies solar activity and astrophysics.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Willie Soon. He is a researcher in astrophysics, solar and stellar physics. And so we want to talk to him about sunspot activity, about climate change, and so forth. We've got a wealth of information. We're going to put that in the links to the video when we put it online. And, of course, you can see our videos put up at BitChute as well as on real.video. Minds.com. We post them in a number of different places. So, and I'll also put it up on my Twitter account, Libertarian. So you have a link to those videos, so you'll be able to see that additional research, because it is very important that we approach science from a position of skepticism, not from religious belief. And that's why when they describe people like Dr. Willie Soon as a climate change denier and all these people as deniers, that says that they're infidels. They're not true believers. And we don't need to believe this stuff simply because somebody in authority has something to say about it. Don't believe Dr. Willie Soon because he's a doctor who studies this. But you might want to look at his research and evaluate his research. We should always be skeptical. We should never accept conventional wisdom. You always have scientific breakthroughs when you challenge that. So, Dr. Sin, we got about 4 minutes or so. Give us an overview of where you see this headed as far as climate goes.
Okay. Well, 4 minutes. Well, what we have seen is that for the next, in terms of the sun's light output, we actually have a very clear way to show that this thing is going to decrease in a rather substantial way. So by about 2030 onwards, I mean, these things is really going to go down, okay, in many, many regions of the Earth. And then, but there's one more important thing, because we really don't fully understand how climate works in that sense. But for the sun one, we can have this estimate out there. So you have to calculate another stuff in terms of just total light output. You do have to understand how the light falling on the equator are different from the light, let's say, falling in Boston, for example. So from that, we call it the gradient, right? The light gradient, the insolation gradient. Now there you have good news and bad news, because the climate works by the gradient of this changes, right? For the for the summer kind of activities and spring activity, the news is very good, because the gradient is going to decrease in the sense that less extreme events, less extreme, so less hurricane even, okay? And then, but then for the winter one, there is slight increase, but that amplitude, lucky that the change, the difference is actually not that big. So in that sense, we would have to say that in terms of even talking about weather and climate and the sun, I mean, you actually are expecting slightly moderated kind of a future. In some sense, that is a positive news, but of course the CO2 church folks, I mean, the IPCC folks will be extremely angry in some sense. Somehow, it's a very strange thing that if we have a better weather and cause less weather disaster over time period, or even less hurricane or less intense hurricane, these people are just constantly hoping for the worst so that they can promote their dogma, which is a very, very sad situation. I mean, it's a bit needy. I don't know why the people would be angry or unhappy about some scientific works that say something against their dogma, their own religion. I mean, this is why even this Florence case, I mean, no one on us could make a single clear scientific argument to say that, oh, it's the carbon dioxide that causes this. I mean, they've been making all that false argument about how it changes the statistics and make it more probable this and that. Excuse me, we know how to look into those things. You are actually shooting hot air out of your mouth, you know, maybe something from your back too as well, which is really bad, because those guys are actually not telling the truth. For example, there's one very needy people. I mean, those guys were issuing press release just immediately when Florence hit on land. Those guys were using this computer simulation and running only one scenario.
That's why they did it through the Washington Post, Dr. Sun. Because where else are you going to spread baseless rumors except in the Washington Post? And, of course, it's what I call environmentalism, because it's like a watermelon. It's got this thin veneer of green, but if you open it up, it's completely red in terms of Marxism, because that's really what they want to enforce. Very concerning that they want to do it also by 2030. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Willie Sun.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we have big, big breaking news on this Kavanaugh situation. We have some background information on the accuser that is bombshell. We have the article going up right now from Paul Joseph Watson on Infowars.com. I'll be covering that in the next segment. I've got one more thing, however, I want to say, as we're talking to Dr. Willie Sun about solar activity, and there was a story up on realclimatescience.com, just to put a bookend on this planetary healing powers of the presidents. Because of the Washington Post is going to come out, and as Hurricane Florence is landing, as Dr. Sun said, the Washington Post is blaming President Trump for the hurricane. Florence is his fault. But using the Washington Post logic, says realclimatescience.com, using the logic of the Washington Post, the president has cooled the planet. President Trump has cooled the planet at a rate of almost 10 degrees per century since he was elected. Isn't that something to be happy about? But they're not happy about that. Why isn't it that the environmentalists are happy about that? Especially when you look at the same data and you look at it during President Obama's tenure and you extrapolate that over a century, you find that Obama was warming the planet at a rate of more than 3 degrees per century throughout his presidency. So under Obama, we warmed the earth at the rate of 3 degrees per century. And under President Trump, we have been cooling it 10 degrees per century. But they're still upset with him. You just can't please these people. Why? Because it is a political agenda. And their political agenda is not simply to take down President Trump. Their political agenda is to try to take control of our lives. And that is why this political agenda is coming from the UN, IPCC. Those are the people that are pushing this. They are also the same people who are pushing 5G and the smart cities. All of this is being done under UN Agenda 21, which has a veneer, again, the green veneer on the outside. It's like a watermelon. And on the inside, it is totally red, totally communist in its control. And these are the economic and technological controls that they're putting on us and doing it in the name of saving the planet. Because UN Agenda 21, which was supposed to push everybody into the cities and off of the land, that's why they were coming after the people in Nevada, the people of the Bundy Ranch. That's why they're taking the long-held property rights from the ranchers, from the miners, from the loggers, everywhere. Making it impossible for anybody to make a living, pushing people out of the rural areas, confiscating not only their property rights, and all those rights that I just mentioned, you know, grazing rights, water rights, mining rights, logging rights, all those can be held simultaneously on the same piece of land, but they're also coming after people's homeowners' rights as well. And they want to push you out of the rural areas, out of the suburbs, into the cities, because that's where they can control you. And so they had UN Agenda 21. Sometime in the 21st century, the UN said, we're going to push everybody in the cities. Then they got more specific. The UN 2030 agenda for sustainability. And a big part of this, a big enabling technology, an essential technology for these smart cities is about to roll out in this spring, the 5G network. That is going to be the basis for the Internet of Things, the IoT. Your cars are going to become part of the Internet of Things. You're not going to be able to drive the cars. They're going to ban the cars in the cities. They've already started doing this in several cities in Germany. They have already made it very difficult for people to, in the UK, putting extra fees on diesel vehicles to prepare people for the idea that they're going to completely ban internal combustion engines. You have to pay even more to park a diesel vehicle in some UK cities. The parking fees are higher. And they're banning these cars outright. They're going to ban all internal combustion engines in the cities, and they're not going to stop there. What they really want to ban is private ownership and humans driving these, because they want to be in control of all the transportation. They want to track your every movement. They want to tax you for your every movement. And if they have social credit scores, as they already have started implementing in China, and as we're also starting to see with all of the social media censorship, they are going to control your movement so that you won't be able to move at all if they don't like what you do. And so as part of this, we see America's 5G network. They are going to have it in most of the major cities. The plan is by 2020, by this coming spring, 2019, they're going to have it in many of the major cities. And this is being pushed without any exception by the major telecommunications companies. GSMA, this is an organization that has 350 mobile companies. It's the people who manufacture mobile devices, the people who provide the services and so forth. Their director general, Mats Granyard, in his opening keynote, said that they are pushing the idea of intelligent connectivity. It's all about smart cities. Consumer Electronics Show this last year, January 2018, was all about smart cities, smart cars, driverless cars. It is an ecosystem. And I say that the IoT is not really an Internet of Things, the things that they're bringing to you are tyranny, control. So it really is an internet of tyranny. They're saying, as an industry, we have an opportunity, an obligation to leverage our mobile networks and services to help achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. That's why they're in this together. All of this comes together. And if we go back to last year, there was a bill being circulated in California, and it was going to stop cities from being able to say, we have health concerns about 5G because it is qualitatively different. And the way that they're going to have to put up these antennas is going to be very different as well. You're going to have antennas every 4th to 12th house in the cities. Antennas everywhere. Various sizes, based up to refrigerator size on every block. And the telecommunications industry just says, go for it and get out of our way. And across the country, some cities are starting to say no. Are you going to be allowed to opt out of that? Just as we've reported in the past, in 1986, they passed an immunity bill for the vaccine companies. The vaccine companies said, we're getting a lot of concerns about the efficacy and the safety of our vaccines. We can't stay in business unless you give us legal immunity. And they did. They made it impossible for you to sue the vaccine companies in 1986. You can go to the special master and you can try to get some relief from damage, but they hide from people the amount of damage that is being done to people, death and life-altering things. And there's been a lot of them, been billions of dollars rewarded to people, awarded to people, even though most people don't know about this. But 10 years later, in 1996, under Bill Clinton, they passed the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And they said in that act, you can only object to cell phone antennas if you don't like the way they look. If you think they're going to be an eyesore or they're going to hurt your property values, you cannot object to it or delay it because of health reasons. And that is a law that should not stand. That is a law that should be pushed back and stopped. Now, they tried to do it in California to say, furthermore, we're going to say at the state level, we're not going to allow the cities to do this. Now, that law was passed by the California Senate a year ago, but it was vetoed by Jerry Brown. He finally did something right, in my opinion. He stopped them eliminating local control. And so what we saw this week was we saw a city, Mill Valley, located just a few miles north of San Francisco, and that city has become the first one in California to block 5G deployment because of cancer concern. Now, if we don't do this, what we have become part of, and this is their rush to put out all of this technology, we are going to be part of the biggest human experiment without our informed consent that we have ever seen. And, of course, they're already doing this with the self-driving cars. They're putting them on the road without your consent, without your approval, without your knowledge in many cases, because they really don't care. They said in that city they had 1% of the population of that small town, 14,000 people, 1% weighed in with an opinion on the matter. Of course, TechCrunch says, while health concerns have bubbled up in various cities in the United States, those concerns are not shared globally. China is investing in this. Of course, Chinese, they don't care about the health of their citizens. They don't have a voice in that. But we got to stop them because it's a tech race. Wow. Breaking news at InfoWars.com. We got a story from Paul Joseph Watson. Here's the headline. Bombshell. Kavanaugh accusers. Salacious high school yearbooks scrubbed. But before they scrubbed it from the internet, it was preserved by a blog, The Cult of the First Amendment. And you can see those pictures as well as the what was said in these yearbooks that were called going back to, it was pretty wild. His article says, Christine Blasey Ford's yearbooks describe wild sex parties, blackouts, erotic male dancers. Maybe that's what they mean by toxic masculinity. Is that it? I think it's really more kind of toxic promiscuity that is shown up in these things here. But as Paul Joseph Watson writes, he said, Cult of the First Amendment blog was able to save copies of the yearbooks before they disappeared. They were scrubbed from the internet, interestingly enough, on, let's see, where was it? It was Monday. Yeah, Monday, September the 17th. They scrubbed them from the web. But some of these were preserved, and you can see the pictures. that were preserved there. She claims, of course, that Judge Brett Kavanaugh physically and sexually assaulted her during a party in the early 80s when she was 15 and Kavanaugh was 17, although two other people that Ford claims were present when the assault happened have denied that it ever happened. And, of course, she just had a friend of hers say, oh, yeah, I can corroborate that. She told me immediately. But, of course, Ford had already told the Washington Post, I never told anybody about this. So we have a lot of concerns about those parties. But now when you look at these yearbook pictures and when you look at what they wrote, I'll read you some of the quotes from this. Of course, we have screenshots that were preserved before they scrubbed them from the Internet. Lastly, one cannot fail to mention the climax of the junior social scene, the party, reads one passage. Striving to extend our educational experience beyond the confines of the classroom, we played such intellectually stimulating games as quarters, Mexican dice, and everyone's favorite pass out, which usually resulted from the aforementioned two. Another passage emphasizes how the loss of consciousness, quote unquote, at such parties meant that attendees only retained hazy memories of them. Starting to rhyme with her account, isn't it? And there were always parties to celebrate at any occasion, reads another passage. I'm reading quotes from the yearbook here. Although these parties are no doubt unforgettable, they are only a memory lapse for most, since loss of consciousness is often an integral part of the party scene. Several passages discuss drunken keg parties while the parents were away. Cast parties, prom parties, post-game parties, pool parties, slumber parties, senior-only parties, junior-only parties. Wherever you look, there were parties, says the yearbook from 1982. Another entry talks about her time at Holton Arms. And again, we've already seen people get into the Holton Arms group, reporters, and they weren't interested in reporting this, were they? These are some people who were alumni of this, and it's kind of members only by invitation, but they said, hey, I went to that school, and now I'm a reporter at mainstream media source. I would like to know anything that you know about Brett Kavanaugh that could smear him. Well, maybe they would have looked at the yearbook. Do you think a reporter would have looked at the yearbook to see what Christine Ford was up to? Well, maybe they did, and maybe that's why they told somebody, scrub that stuff, get that stuff down. They took it down Monday, but it was preserved by some other people. Again, it was the Cult of the First Amendment blog preserved that, and you can see those pictures now at InfoWars. Anne, and they redacted the last name, and friends picked up some men who passed out in their apartment, says one of the passages. And there's a picture of a lot of people having a party while the parents were out. Parties usually began in an incredibly altruistic person's mind. He figured out that since the parents were out for the month, and nobody had anywhere to go, he would invite a couple of intimate friends over for a couple of hours or until someone ruined the heirloom Persian rug in the living room, whichever came first, and so forth and so on. You know, I go back to my yearbooks that we had in high school. We didn't have anything like this. You know, it was like the Junior Exchange Club or the Chess Club or the ROTC group or the band group or the, you know, special interests. You know, what were people doing? We didn't have anything in our yearbooks about parties. I guess we missed out. I don't know. It wasn't that much longer before this. What kind of a school is this? I guess it's a school for the elite. And as Paul Joseph Watson points out, the fact that Ford's high school years were replete with drunken parties in which attendees could barely remember is an important detail, given her apparent difficulty to remember any specifics about the time when Kavanaugh allegedly assaulted her. And again, all of these things were scrubbed on Monday, September the 17th, but they were preserved by the Cult of the First Amendment. And I just want to point out, because I didn't really get into this earlier, when we talk about Kavanaugh's lawyer and her connections to George Soros and to Democrats, as Breitbart pointed out 2 days ago, Kavanaugh's accuser lawyer is a longtime Democrat donor. She also defended Bill Clinton and Al Franken. No, just like Anita Hill, just like Hillary Clinton. Yeah, going to defend Franken, going to defend Bill Clinton, but we're going to attack any Republicans that are out there because they're automatically guilty. We've already seen this again with Judge Roy Moore. No trial to be heard there. Decades old. He said, she said. Nothing was ever reported to anybody, but then it surfaces at just the right time, and you're not going to get your reputation back. Difference is that Brett Kavanaugh is a friend of Mitch McConnell, and Roy Moore was not. I think Brett Kavanaugh is going to get through. But let's take a look at the Soros connections. Deborah Katz, the attorney, who is saying that these unsubstantiated, unreported allegations of 35 years ago should be investigated by the FBI. Maybe the FBI should start with the yearbook. Do you think? The yearbook and the pictures of her in the yearbook. And again, there's pictures of her posing in a miniskirt very provocatively with her legs raised, and they have blacked out her face partially there. But also other pictures of other girls wearing Playboy bunny ears and so forth and bragging about their drunken parties. So Deborah Katz demands that there be an FBI investigation, not of the yearbook, but of Brett Kavanaugh. She has in the past offended men accused of sexual assault by multiple women, including Bill Clinton and Al Franken. And she is part of the resist movement. In Clinton's case, Katz took his word over that of Paula Jones and of Juanita Broderick and of Kathleen Willey and many, many, many others. Katz dismissed Jones' assertions on March the 30th, 1998, on CNN's Talk Back Live, saying 20 years ago that Paula Jones' suit is very, very, very weak. And this is what Christine Ford's lawyer said 20 years ago in defending Bill Clinton. That Paula Jones alleged one incident that took place in a hotel room that, by her own testimony, lasted 10 to 12 minutes. She suffered no repercussions in the workplace. And Katz again said on CBS Evening News on April the 2nd, 1998, that Jones's allegation could not hold up in court because, listen to this, this is coming from Christine Ford's lawyer. Clearly, a one-time incident that took place in 10 to 12 minutes, she's not forced to have sex, she left on her own volition. The courts increasingly are finding that is not enough to create a sexually hostile work environment claim. She said, if they were to tell me this, if a woman were to, this is what the lawyer for Christine Ford said 20 years ago. A woman would come here and tell me that, I would say, I'm sorry, it's unfair, but you don't have a case. 20 years later, she changed her tune, didn't she?
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Just gave you the blockbuster article that is up at InfoWars.com right now from Paul Joseph Watson. Bombshell. Kavanaugh accusers' salacious high school yearbooks have been scrubbed from the internet. They don't want you to see that. They are begging people on social media to accuse Brett Kavanaugh. But these same people who have access to the yearbook and the alumni of this particular high school, that's how they have access to the other alumni on social media. They're begging them for any gossip that they have about Brett Kavanaugh. And yet they would surely know and have access to this yearbook, right? Maybe that's why it was scrubbed on Monday. Yet it was saved. These pictures were saved, and these articles inside the yearbook were saved by the cult of the First Amendment. And I have to look at this and say, I never saw anything. What kind of a school for scandal was this? They're saying, we want to know if there was any toxic masculinity. Yeah, it was toxic, all right. Toxic sexuality was going on. There were sex parties, blackouts, erotic male dancers bragging about how they're getting drunk and passing out. They don't know what parties they went to. Maybe that explains why she said she ran out. She didn't remember where the house was, and she ran away. Was she driving? She's 15 years old. I don't think she'd be driving. She doesn't know where the house was. Was she walking? How far would she have to walk? She had no idea where this party was. Yeah, there's pictures. Apparently looks like her, or with her face blacked out, in a miniskirt with her legs raised and spread apart. I mean, this is amazing to look at these pictures, and amazing that a school would tolerate this kind of stuff in a yearbook. I mean, what kind of environment was this? And Brett Kavanaugh was going to a different school. They were visiting that school, evidently, according to her. But according to Brett Kavanaugh and somebody else that she mentioned, they said, well, we were never at a party there. But it looks like there were so many parties that maybe it was confusing as to which party she was at any given time, especially 35 years later, since no complaints were filed at the time. And as I was talking about her lawyer, saying 20 years ago, in defending Bill Clinton, her lawyer, Katz, Deborah Katz, the attorney that she hired, said in 1998, defending Bill Clinton, if a woman came to me with a similar fact pattern that these accusers, she was talking about Paula Jones specifically, but they didn't talk about Juanita Broderick or the others. She's saying to dump onto Paula Jones's allegation. She said clearly a one-time incident that took place for only 10 to 12 minutes, and she wasn't forced to have sex. She left of her own volition. Well, that's not what Juanita Broderick said. Juanita Broderick has tearfully, and I played it for you earlier in the broadcast, tearfully talked about how he forcefully raped her. But she said, well, you know, Paula Jones, she left on her own volition. Well, according to her own account, Christine Ford left on her own volition. An incident that took place in 10 to 12 minutes, according to Christine Ford, it was shorter than that. Sounds like it. The courts increasingly are finding that's not enough to create a sexually hostile work environment claim. And that's the reason why they had the FBI investigation into the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill situation, because it was a work environment claim, federal work environment claim. This doesn't have anything to do with this. The FBI doesn't have any jurisdiction here. This lawyer, Katz, ought to know that. Because also in 1998, she told the media, she said, if a woman came to me with a similar fact pattern to what I just read to you about she's dumping on Paula Jones's allegation, that someone in the company above her propositioned her, but only once, and she suffered no tangible job detriment, I would probably tell her, I'm sorry if it's unfair, but you don't have a case. If it's one time, it has to be severe, almost a sexual assault, not a touching of somebody's breast or buttocks or even forceful kissing, she said. This is Christine Ford's lawyer 20 years ago. She also defended Al Franken, reports Breitbart. She said of Al Franken, she said, context is relevant. He did not do this as a member of the U.S. Senate. He did this in his capacity of someone who was still functioning as an entertainer. Well, I would say context is relevant here. If these accusations were to be believed, then Brett Kavanaugh didn't do this in the context of a judge or a Supreme Court candidate. He did it in the context of a high school student, if it was in fact true, and they haven't been proven. No complaints were made at the time. So she's going to defend Al Franken for something he did when he was senator, I believe. I think that happened when he was senator. But she said he did it in the as functioning as an entertainer. Maybe it happened before he was a senator. Nevertheless, it's okay. It's okay. But it's not okay if Brett Kavanaugh did something functioning as a high school student. And again, context and timing is everything, right? We know why this is coming out right now. She also donated $8,000 to both of President Obama's presidential campaigns. She raised $29,000 for Hillary Clinton running for president in 2019. Oh, she's with her. And here's the kicker, folks. She has ties to George Soros. According to the Washington Times, she's involved with the Project on Government Oversight that goes by the initial POGO, P-O-G-O. I guess we has met the enemy, and he is us. No, different POGO, right? We have met the enemy, and he is the U.S., according to Soros. I guess we met the enemy, and he's Soros. POGO co-signed a letter to Senator Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Grassley with a variety of leftist groups demanding that Kavanaugh give up his records. Well, that was before they came up with another delay tactic, right? So here she is. She is involved with POGO, an organization that is involved, funded by George Soros, to stop, among other things, to stop Kavanaugh. She is actually the vice chair of POGO. She's the vice chair of the board on POGO. And she signed that letter to Feinstein and Grassley, along with a variety of lefty groups demanding Kavanaugh's records. That was their first choice to obstruct this. And, of course, there's other links to Soros. There's also a group called Demand Justice that was just established this year. It's a political advocacy group that vowed to put $5 million behind an effort to stop Kavanaugh's confirmation. And she has ties to that group as well. They get its their money from 1630 Fund. The 1630 Fund received about $2.2 million from the Open Society Policy Center. So he just launders all this money. She's got connections to multiple Soros organizations. She's raised, given $8,000 to Obama, both of his campaigns, raised $29,000 for Hillary Clinton, dumped on the women that Bill Clinton violently assaulted 20 years ago, said, nah, I'm sorry that happened to you if it really did, but you don't have a claim. And then defended Al Franken. But when it comes time to Kavanaugh, we understand where this is all coming from. And again, we have the article up at InfoWars, bombshell, Kavanaugh accusers scrubbed the salacious high school yearbook. And I just can't believe that this was allowed in a yearbook. You know, this is only about 10 years after I graduated. And they're putting this kind of stuff in a yearbook? Unbelievable. We didn't have anything like that in any of our yearbooks when I went to school. You know, what kind of a school is this anyway? Talking about how they're partying in long passages, talking about the wild parties that they had, how they got drunk, how they passed out, and how this is characteristic, the provocative poses that are being done here by the people, and that's going to understand why they would take that down. And I hope that this whole thing, as I said before, I hope that it wakes them up to civil asset forfeiture. The importance of being, of having a, having charges against you processed and having to have a conviction of a law being broken before you have your property taken. Or maybe even before they take away your kids. Because when we come back, I'm going to tell you about how a Buffalo, New York mother was arrested for homeschooling her kids. And this is coming from blackmainstreet.net. It was a black single mother who was trying to do the right thing with her kids. Seeing how awful, maybe she was going to a school that was as perverted as a school that Christine Ford went to. Wanted to get her out of that environment, educate herself as a single parent. And CPS comes against her without due process. Think about that, Judge Kavanaugh.
The greetings of people in trouble, reflections of my life. Oh, how they fill my eyes.
Welcome back in this last segment. I'm going to talk about the real sexual abuse that is happening in the Catholic Church and the pushback that we're seeing from the Vatican. It's like what we talked about with the police officer in Dallas going into the wrong apartment, seeing a black man in there, shooting him dead, and then coming back and saying, well, we let her go in 2 hours. The people who protested that, we kept them overnight. We had 9 people arrested who were protesting the fact that she was let go and it looking like a cover-up. And then just in case anybody thought there was going to be a cover-up, well, they went through his apartment with a fine-tooth comb. They said, we found some marijuana here. So I guess he had it coming, didn't he? No, he didn't. That shouldn't be a death penalty. It shouldn't even be illegal. And it had absolutely nothing to do with why she was in that apartment. And when the police embrace that, that's when we realize that the institution itself is corrupt, and that's what's happening in the Catholic Church right now. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and in this last segment. Before we get to that, I just want to remind you of some of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, because that's what supports this program, keeps us going. And we have a special just for our listeners. You can use the coupon code REALNEWS at checkout to get 15% off a ProPure King water filtration system. That's the big one. It's Gravity Feed. And again, it joins many of our other products there at InfoWarsStore.com. Part of our September Preparedness Month sales, you'll see a lot of new food and water filtration products there, seed, accessory specials to help you to prepare. We know this is a time of natural disaster, but you ought to be looking after your family's health at all times. And again, you can get that exclusive, use a coupon code REALNEWS to get 15% off of the ProPure King Gravity Feed water filtration system. We have several other products that you'll, big discounts, 50% off of Super Female, Super Male and Super Female Vitality, 50% off of that. Also 50% off of Bod Ease, our popular turmeric formula. Not only has turmeric, but it also has some other ingredients that help your body to absorb the turmeric. A very, very effective natural ingredient to fight inflammation and many chronic diseases. And finally, we have our final run of Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 25% off. Hurry while supplies last. You can get that at InfoWarsStore.com, as well as 15% off the ProPure King water filtration system. Just use the code REALNEWS to save 15%. And as we just broke in the last segment, the article at InfoWars.com by Paul Joseph Watson, bombshell: Kavanaugh's accusers' salacious high school yearbooks were scrubbed from the internet. All these press media outlets scouring the internet, scouring for people to give them information that would smear Brett Kavanaugh. Yet they don't want to see the toxic sexual environment that was allowed by this school to be, for these kids to talk about this, the drunken sexual parties that they put in the yearbook, of all things, put in the yearbook. There's also information that's come out from Gateway Pundit saying that she published 8 studies about the abortion pill and works for the company that produces it. This is a company called Corcept, according to her new Wikipedia page. So they put this new Wikipedia page up as they pull down the pictures. But, of course, those pictures that were pulled down on Monday were preserved by the Cult of the First Amendment blog, and you can see them on that InfoWars article. But this Corcept, this company there that she was a consultant for 5 years, 2006 to 2011, they have a $1.6 billion market cap. They have annual sales of $216 million, and their only product is the abortion pill, RU486, which, as they point out, is 95% effective during the first 50 days of pregnancy. Kind of dovetails into what the Pope is doing as he's welcoming U2's Bono, months after Bono campaigned for abortion to be made constitutional in Ireland. Yeah, so what's going on with that? Why would he do that? I understand that Christine Ford is a feminist, but why would Bono, who says that he's a Christian, why would he work so hard to repeal the 8th Amendment of the Irish Constitution so that they could make abortion legal? This is what has happened in the wake of the promiscuity in that institution, not just the high school that Christine Ford went to. And what did Bono and the Pope talk about? Quote, the wild beast that is capitalism. You know, the Pope was far more concerned about plastic pollution in the ocean than he was about the pedophiles in the Catholic Church. Maybe we should call him the Plastic Pope. I don't know. They've opened up a new hotline in New Jersey. This is something just came out yesterday. A call center. It's going to be open 24 hours a day. It was launched last week by the Office of the New Jersey Attorney General. A new task force to investigate allegations of real sexual abuse. Sexual abuse of children by the Catholic clergy in New Jersey. And they said a lot of the alleged survivors reported they couldn't get through the hotline because it was inundated with calls. One person said it rang maybe 10 times. It hung up and a message came up saying, we're unable to take your calls. He said, I've kept my secret for 20 years and it ate me up inside. It was slowly killing me. Now being able to call up the hotline, leave your name, leave your information and let go of that secret. That is the beginning of a healing process, but not too quick because the Pope and his advisors are out there saying that these accusers are just feeding their megalomania. Remember when the Pope went down to Chile? He went down there because you've had a very high profile case with the cardinal that was brought back to Australia. Why? Because they got rid of this ridiculous statute of limitations of only 3 years, which is what you have globally, pretty much. And they said that's far too short for children to be able to do anything about this to protect themselves, to protect the community against these people, because they are repeat offenders. They don't just do it once. They're going to do it again and again. And that's why it is so insidious that the Catholic Church, going all the way up to the Pope, going up to this Pope, would participate in not only covering this up, but then transferring these predators, these priests or these bishops or these cardinals to another jurisdiction where they don't tell people what's going on. So they can start all over again. And so the Pope, we've had situations like this break out in Ireland, in Australia, now in the United States and Pennsylvania, but it was last year, went down to Chile because they had a high-profile situation down there. He went down there to apologize to the victims, but then he turned around and got testy with them and said, those of you who are accusing these people in the Catholic Church, you are guilty of calumny, of slander. And now we have the vice pope saying that Cardinal McCarrick, this is the guy who is the big money man, again, like Cardinal Pell in Australia. He was the guy in charge of the Vatican Bank. Well, Cardinal McCarrick was in Washington, D.C., and he was one of the biggest fundraisers for the Catholic Church, so I guess he got an indulgence for all this stuff. The vice pope is saying that Cardinal McCarrick's sex abuse was, quote, a private matter. Story on Breitbart, he says, turning a private matter into a bombshell headline that explodes into the world and whose shrapnel does damage to the faith of many people doesn't seem right. I think that a management issue ought to be aired with more serene and objective criteria, not in a negative tone, charged with very bitter expressions. You know what? A lot of us are very bitter about what happened to the Catholic Church and what was allowed to happen. And this is something that went over decades. Archbishop Vigano put out that 11-page report telling people that he had personally informed Pope Francis, the current pope, in 2013 of what had been done by McCarrick. He said, this has been known by the previous pope. Now you know it. Do something about it. Here we are 5 years later. Nothing was ever done. Except that the pope is accusing people who do this of being Satan. He's actually, in referring to Vigano's information, he said the great accuser, in other words, Satan, is out there. The Pope says that accused pastors are like Jesus. So these people are like Jesus, and people who are trying to stop the predators are Satan, according to the Pope. He said bishops who are accused should remain silent like Jesus did on Good Friday. When the crowd shouted, crucify him, he remained silent because he had compassion for those who had been deceived by the powerful. I think maybe we have been deceived by the powerful. Many people in the Catholic Church have. He was silent. He prayed in the same way the pastor in difficult times when the devil is unleashed. Showing the documents about how this guy knew what was going on 5 years ago and he didn't do anything. You know, when the pastor is accused, these pastors, he says, have the same authority as Christ. And these people are nothing other than satanic accusers. Now, I think the Satanism is on the other foot. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us.